Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm a manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Janet, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Hi, everybody. Nick Rogers in for Steve Tannen today. It is Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. I'm Nick Rogers. Steve is out today. He is having had a medical procedure that caused him to miss today. And so here I am, Nick. Normally, your producer behind the board, the guy laughing maniacally at the TV while Steve is talking, throwing him off his game. I won't be able to do that to myself because I'm gonna be here for the next 2 hours talking with you during Sports Talk about the very interesting days that it's been in the world of sports. As always, if you want to get involved, you can call us at the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. I've got access to Steve's text line as well, 321-0824. You can hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore. That's for the station. I've been on that and kind of jumping around a little bit here and there, checking on that. Or my own Twitter, at Rick Nodgers. You can give me a follow, send me a tweet for your thoughts or questions, any stories you'd like to tell. About Kobe Bryant and the passing of him, his daughter, and the seven others aboard the plane, John Kerry and Alyssa Altabelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, and pilot Ara Zabayan in that helicopter crash on just Sunday morning. Feels like it was so long ago, and just incredible how big of a sports figure Kobe was, just kind of outside sports. So I talked a lot about it in the first hour. You'll be able to listen to that actually on the podcast as soon as I get that post. Normally they're up, you know, right about now getting posted and stuff. But if you find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I think you search for Cumulus Eugene, you should be able to find those and listen to any part of the show that you missed today. But I talked a lot about what a lot of other people have been talking about with the passing of Kobe Bryant. And so I've got some sound from Pat McAfee this morning, from Jim Rome this morning, about what they're going to be talking about. I think I'm definitely going to play the Pat McAfee sound this hour. Might get to Jim Rome in the 5 o'clock hours just to get to that. But today is yesterday was a bad sports day, and I think today was an especially bad sports day, as everybody now is kind of they've had a chance to kind of process this information, and it doesn't feel right, and it sucks that five families lost brothers, sons, mothers, daughters, sisters, cousins. So many families and lives have been torn apart by this moment, and so many more lives because of the impact that Kobe had on sports, and just kind of the competitor that he was on the court, driving him, and how kind of a person he was off the court, the Mamba mentality. I mean, for me, like the biggest impact Kobe had on my life was you're bundling up something in the trash and you're going to throw it away and you do the fadeaway Kobe, and, you know, you brick it, of course. But, you know, hey, we're doing the Kobe thing. Like that's kind of like the biggest impact that Kobe had on my life. And it's very strange to say that somebody kind of so young and so impactful on a sport is gone. And it's incredible to hear all of the kind stories and things that are being written about Kobe and about some of the other people. I talked about Bob Nightingale for USA Today Sports, wrote a great article about John Altobelli, as he was the Kobe of the junior college baseball world. And actually, Bill Plaschke of the LA Times wrote his column that is really incredible. Plaschke kind of talked about how he started at the LA Times about when Kobe was drafted in LA, and they, you know, spent 20 years of their lives together covering the Lakers, their championships, all of the points, all of his games, all of his big moments, and wrote a column kind of like you would expect a fan to write a column. Just no. Kobe does not die, not now. Kobe lives into his golden years, long enough to see his statues erected outside Staples Center, his jerseys inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He lives long enough to sit courtside at Staples when he's stooped and gray, keeping alive the memories of two decades of greatness with a wink and maybe fooling everyone one last time by retiring into a community next to Shaq's. Like, that's what Bill Plaschke wrote, but that's kind of what we thought and expected Kobe was going to be. He was supposed to be around forever. He was supposed to lead a charge with his daughter through the WNBA and through her sports career as she was going forward. And he was going to be there for the Lakers. And maybe he would someday be on TV a little bit more. Like, this was supposed to be, it wasn't supposed to be like this. And it's incredibly sad seeing the tributes to him and everyone else and his daughter and how everyone is feeling this moment. So if you have something to share, feel free to call in. We're going to go now to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And caller, thanks for calling in. You are live on Sports Talk. Who's this?
Nick, how's it going, man?
Good. Who's this?
It is your friend. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, your phone cut out. Is this intern Sam?
Absolutely.
Okay, there it is. How you doing, man?
Man, you know what? It's difficult being a sports fan, especially when we get stories like this. It's always hard to see an icon, especially one so young, so important to their game, have to go and so important to so many people's lives. I can tell you, I remember going to Portland Trail Blazer games and seeing Kobe, and at the time I was young, I wasn't really a fan. I was a Blazer fan, man. I couldn't root for the Lakers. You know that. But I remember showing up at the Moda Center the night that he ended up announcing his retirement after he fell to the Blazers. And it hit me in that moment on the drive home after hearing that he had announced that he was going to retire at the end of the season, how impactful and important a player he was, how much he had gone through for himself, his team, and the other people around him. It means quite a lot to so many sports fans and so many non-sports fans. I can't tell you how many people have reached out and said something along the lines of, you know what? I don't know why this is hitting me so hard. I'm not really like a sports fan like that. I don't know what it is. And I answered one of these people last night. And the best thing that I could say about it is that the reason everybody feels this so strongly in their hearts is because it was Kobe. It was multiple families. It was his daughter. And because of his family, his daughters, and the legends and the truths, the work he's done on and off the court, not a soul is perfect, but he was good. The world hurts when we lose good yesterday, today, and probably for a while moving forward, we will feel that hurt.
Goodness, I mean, do you want to come in and do the show? Can you, like, show up? Because I think you're doing a lot better job at this than I am.
I mean, I'm kind of about to walk in my apartment. I just got out of class. But, I mean, hey, if you need a ringer at any point, you know you can just give me a text.
I mean, yeah, if you want to stop by and see if maybe they'll let you back here to run the board or just sit here to bounce some thoughts. Thanks for calling in, Sam. That's very well put, man. Its impact is so much bigger than just sports. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Can't wait to see you at the next game.
Absolutely, man. intern Sam back in now on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, giving us some takes as well. It's a big emotional day, and I think one of the more direct ties is through the Oregon women's team, where Kobe had become very close with Sabrina, and Sabrina had become very close with Kobe's daughter, Gianna, who also passed. And this is what Sabrina had to say post-game on ESPN after the Civil War win, where she was so emotional.
And, of course, the world lost a legend, and you, of course, a very close friend in Kobe Bryant today. Can you talk about the emotions that you felt finding out just before the game and coming out here to finish?
I mean, everything I do it for him, obviously. Really close friend, and this season's for him.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you.
Yeah, seeing the videos pregame of Sabrina, especially Sabrina being so emotional, and, you know, the rest of her teammates as well, were you know, everybody was emotional. Kobe was very important to a lot of these girls' lives, to a lot of basketball players growing up. And just to kind of be able to see that emotion and to know that what they were going through, you know, Mignon Moore was especially emotional, having played at USC for some time. And, you know, people reporting Sabrina wasn't out for warmups. She's coming out just with 5 minutes to go. She's very emotional. There's lots of tears. Everybody feels strange. You know, what's kind of going on? And I've gotten some texts as well that a lot of people were kind of okay until they saw Sabrina breaking down. And that's kind of when it got them. It took me a while. Like, I got kind of welled up writing my notes. I got welled up reading Twitter last night. It's a big, scary emotional moment, an emotional thing that happened, and so suddenly, and to have it happen during basketball season with NBA games going on, just all of it is so strange and surreal. And it just, I'm still kind of hoping like somebody's going to hit us with the weirdest psych, like it didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. We've got another caller here on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Feel free to jump on in as well. Call us 284-8571. You can text me as well, 321-0824. Hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore. And I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. We've got a caller on the line here. You are live on Sports Talk. Who's this?
You talking to me?
Yes, you are a caller on the line.
Hey, man. I just wanted to weigh in a little bit about the Kobe stuff. I'm new to Eugene. I've been here for about a year. And I'm from L.A., born and raised. And it's just crazy, man, the parallels. My parents live in Thousand Oaks, where the helicopter was going. Been to the Mamba Academy. I met Kobe a couple times, and it's like you said, man, it's just surreal, and just the way the news broke and how quickly it spread, and just, I don't even know what to say, man. I don't even know why I called. It was just one of the worst days of my life.
Yeah, no, I totally feel
and
for you.
Everybody.
Yeah, no, I didn't even grow up watching basketball, and I was super emotional when I saw the tweets and everything that was coming through, and, you know, friends sending messages and all sorts of stuff. And I was kind of like on the brink of like a weird emotional breakdown like all day. And I don't even like, I didn't like basketball all that much growing up, and it got me really hard. So for you, being like a Laker fan, like this had to have been tough, man.
Yeah, man. Everybody's just devastated, and it's like you said. And then I'll let you go. But I mean, just somebody who I work with. I don't know if she was a big fan or anything, but I mean, she painted her nails yellow and, you know, purple and gold today, My sisters have been calling me all day and all day yesterday, and they're not huge fans, but they know I am, and my father, and just, you know, everybody, man. It's a big bummer.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. I hope you feel better and you get over this, and, you know, as long as, you know, I think what this may be a big teaching moment for all of this is that everybody can kind of come together and send love to each other, and you know, prayers to the Bryant family, Vanessa, his wife, the Altobelli family, the other families that were involved as well, the Chester and Mouser families, the Bayan families that were all a part of this crash. Everybody, I'm saying Kobe a lot and his impact because it's a sports show, and he's kind of the unifying big figure in all of this. But we are thinking of the other families as well, and it's tough to talk about, you know, one singular thing, one moment, and one person at a time, and it's just, I don't know. I'm thinking of everybody here. I'm trying not to come off as insensitive or anything like that. And actually, one of the more interesting texts we got from the text line as well, they should retire 24 like 99 is in the NHL. It's an interesting thought because I don't know. I don't think officially 99 is retired in the NHL. I think there might be more or less like a pseudo kind of a weird shadow ban, if that makes sense, on that number, because Gretzky wearing it being the great one, you know, it's kind of hockey treats that as he's the best, he's the greatest, he took the number, he play, you know, he holds every record in NHL history, like that's his, he can have it. But then you think about, like, 23 for Michael Jordan. A lot of guys, and maybe, well, I guess not so much 25 in baseball, although it may be kind of, but guys wear numbers of their idols to honor them. This is a guy that I looked up to when I was playing, and I wanted to be like him. Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros wears number 2 because he was a shortstop, and he wanted to be like Derek Jeter, and Derek Jeter wore number 2, and I think he batted 2nd as well in the lineup. So, like, well, Jeter and Bregman growing up and everything. It's like I wanted to honor my hero by wearing his number, so I'm reminded to play like him. And I think a lot of guys, LeBron, especially doing that, wearing the number 23. Honoring Michael Jordan. I grew up playing like Jordan, looking at him as the greatest. You know, LeBron obviously having a very emotional day as well, with everything that's going on, passing Kobe on the scoring list and him passing away, you know, 12 hours later. That's very interesting. But yeah, it looks like the last time somebody wore 99 was in 1999. So maybe kind of sort of shadow banned in the NHL, but 24 in the NBA would be an interesting one, because I believe the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban came out and he said nobody would wear 24 for the Mavericks. Obviously, the Lakers retired his 8 and 24. But I think in the NBA, there's a lot of guys that would want to wear those numbers to honor them, to be able to show that you respect them and you play for them. Trae Young changed his number. He normally wears number 11. He decided last night, no, I'm going to wear number 8 for Kobe. This is what we're going to do. And we'll talk in just a bit about what NBA teams did to honor Kobe last night. You know, there's a lot of stuff kind of going on that I don't know if retiring the number league-wide would maybe be the right thing. I think certainly for the Lakers, they've done right in retiring Kobe's numbers, and that's all well and deserved and good. But I, you know, maybe giving him an award that's named after him for sportsmanship or competitiveness or just kind of honoring him in another way, I think maybe would feel right. In the NBA as well, earlier today announced that the Lakers and Clippers game that was scheduled to be played tomorrow will not be played tomorrow. They've postponed that. So the next time the Lakers will play now is Friday against the Trailblazers at home. So that's going to be very interesting. Yeah, I got a text here. Dylan Brooks wears 24 for Memphis. I believe he wore that at Oregon as well. I think. So I'm looking up Dylan Brooks. Yes, so he wore 24 at Oregon. I'm not sure if maybe that was just the number given to him, or that's what, you know, kind of what was available if it was to honor Kobe, who was, you know, still playing at that time and wearing 24. Or I think, no, actually, by the time, no, they were kind of playing together for a year. There was a little bit of overlap. So, yeah, I don't know if retiring the number would be interesting. I guess it would kind of be like baseball retiring 42, but then Mariano Rivera still wearing it kind of thing. It would be interesting. So I don't know if you have thoughts on that, if you have thoughts about Kobe, and if you just want to talk and share your emotions, more than open to it. We're going to play some sound coming up from the Pat McAfee show. I've got sound from LeBron James, got Kelly Graves sound and stuff. It's all coming up here on Crunch Time and Sports Talk. Without Steve Tannen, I'm Nick in for Steve. Steve will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. I'm going to hit you up with an update, and we'll be back with more sports talk next on 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Landry jam it, walks the ball to the front court, and both teams just standing idly in honor of Kobe Bryant, and the crowd beginning to recognize something special is happening, on their feet applauding, and the Clippers will take a 24-second violation to start the game.
Number 24, Kobe Bryant, a 24-second violation.
And the public address announcement in honor of Kobe Bryant. Markelle Fultz holding the basketball.
And in honor of
Markelle held it for eight seconds. Until we wore number 8 early. What a great idea.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Crunch Time and Sports Talk. Without Steve Tannen, Nick Rogers in for Steve today. I'm sharing that clip from Fox Sports Orlando, the Orlando Magic television. Fox Sports Florida, I should say. David Steele and Jeff Turner on the call for that one. That was the call that one broke me down last night. That one, after a long day of thinking about what had happened and why I was so emotional about a player in a sport that I didn't pay all that much attention to growing up. Why did that one hit me so hard? And seeing the players and the fans cheering to kind of know what they were doing and to know that it was to honor Kobe in that way, it hit me, man. I don't know why, but I don't know who came up with it, because I believe the Spurs had the first game of the day, and it was just kind of hours before tip-off that the news, you know, broke and then was made official. And I don't know if it was the player, if it was Greg Popovich, if it was somebody from the league. Somebody had a quick thinking mind, and they were on their feet, and they were ready. And I thought that to be able to honor him in that way with something so simple as, hey, he wore two numbers, and those two numbers actually correlate with two numbers within our game. And, you know, take a 24-second violation, take an 8-second violation. That's for Kobe. That's spectacular. I think that's just a fantastic way to honor him. From at Mount Booble on Twitter, a good friend of the show, seeing this around social media, but for the All-Star game, one team wears number 8 and the other team wears number 24. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think that's something that absolutely the NBA would be willing to do as well. It doesn't seem all that far out of the picture that the NBA could be like, you know, and maybe they would want the players to have their names on it, but or the league would want players to have their names on it. But I think it's a fantastic idea if they wanted to go through with it. And more tributes coming out tonight as the Detroit Pistons came out in their for their pregame introductions in their Motor City jerseys. And everybody either had an 8 Bryant or a 24 Bryant for their pregame introductions as they came out. And I thought... There's even guys in street clothes that are sitting on the bench that are out there in Kobe Bryant jerseys, which is these tributes are incredible, and they're so well deserved, and just makes it kind of makes everything that much more sad as well, the more you think about it. Nick in for Steve here, Crunch Time and Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. You can hit us up on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, which we will go to now. We have two callers on the line, so we'll go with caller one. You are live on Sports Talk. Who's this?
It's Nate. Hey, so I'm a longtime Laker fan. I'm 44, so I'm old enough to remember seeing kind of the Showtime Lakers, the last two championships, the first three, I don't really remember, too young. But Kobe Bryant and the Shaq era, along with the Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant era, were my time. They were my championships. They were sort of what I lived off of. And it was exciting to watch them play. It was exciting to sort of watch the drama unfold. But then sort of to see the man that he became later, just a difficult day.
Yeah, no, that's, I think I've mentioned, a lot of people, or I've read from a couple of people that his growth as a person from, you know, like the cocky teenager to the you know, kind of in his mid-20s when he just got very angry at everybody, and then he just kind of like called down his growth and his, for lack of a better term, his character arc through the NBA was something else.
No, that's a fantastic way to look at it, too, because it truly is a character arc from the rest of us that don't live that life, right? There's only 2% of the world, I believe, that's tall enough to even play NBA basketball, and then there's even less of them that tend to be good at it, right?
Yeah.
And so he was literally at the peak at one point and the best in you know, the league, and then on top of that, in my opinion, the best Laker of all time, if you just look at his total career. And then you look at what he was just beginning to do in his private life, you know, not only for the community, but then in business. I mean, he was really becoming just a full man. And we were getting to see that, and then, you know, it got cut short.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Thank you, Nate, for calling in. And I hope as a Laker fan, you know, you're taking everything okay here. And it has been a tough 30 hours somewhere in there. I'm not, you guys, if you're listening to the show, you know I'm not good at math. We have another caller on the line, though, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Hit us up, 284-8571. Caller, you are live on Sports Talk. Who's this?
Hey, Nick, this is Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I agree with the previous caller. I mean, I think that's what's making this so emotional is that, you know, a lot of people grew up watching Kobe, his growth, what an icon he was for the NBA, you know, his work ethic, just everything that he did on the court was impressive. But the person that he's became over the last few years since he's retired, you know, you see him at NBA games with his daughter, you know, going to different camps and talking to kids and, you know, making appearances on the Oprah show, and just everything that he did as a person after his career is what made him so impressive and the growth and everything. And I think this is just one of the biggest shocks in the sports world since, you know, maybe, you know, Dale Earnhardt's death, you know, for the NASCAR community and what a big impact that made back in 2001. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. And I agree with you where you were talking about retiring Kobe's number. I think that should be up to the players if they want the opportunity to wear his number. I'm okay with the Lakers wanting to retire his number. I think that's a great tribute to him. I'm glad the NBA wants him to be in the Hall of Fame class this year. Something that somebody brought up that I thought was a really interesting idea was they were talking about possibly maybe petitioning to make the NBA logo Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I think I saw Sports Illustrated like tweeted that out this morning, and that would be an honor. Like that would be something that I don't know if a lot of people would thought of, because I mean, Jerry West has been the logo, but not confirmed as the logo for you know, pretty mm-hmm. much forever. So changing the logo up for the league. I mean, maybe like it sounds pretty crazy that, you know, you would do that for one particular person. But I think if you take into account his whole career and how his life tragically ended, like it almost kind of seems like it would make sense. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be a great tribute to him, or like you said, yeah, you know, do some type of sportsmanship award for him. and maybe even in the WNBA or in high school sports for women's basketball, girls' basketball, you know, something to, you know, for his daughter, you know, to put a, you know, something out there for her, because, you know, her life ended so shortly, and, you know, it was a tragic ending to add to all the families.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And thanks for calling in, Mike. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I think what the NBA is going to do next is certainly something that I think Adam Silver is going to take time with. The Lakers are going to have more time. Their game, they were supposed to play against the Clippers tomorrow night. That game has been canceled, and so the Lakers' next game at home will be against Portland. So, you know, what kind of tributes are going to be made pregame, and just the emotions of the players, because as easy, that's the wrong word, but as hard as it's been on everybody, for, you know, I played the clip of the Orlando Magic doing their tribute, the Spurs, the Blazers, everybody who's played in one way or another has had some sort of connection to Kobe, and these guys are all playing in different cities all across the country, and like, it seems kind of impossible that the Lakers would be able to have a game. I mean, the scene outside the Staples Center with the Grammys happening yesterday, and people being told at one point to stay away from the Staples Center because the Grammys are happening. Like, no, LA is Kobe's town. Like, he runs that city. That's his building, the Staples Center. Like, that's for him. That's like everybody meeting there and, you know, putting down flowers and meeting at murals that were painted for him across the city and kind of memorializing him. Like, that all made sense. But to think that the Grammys were going to stop Laker fans from showing up was, of all of the weirder moments, maybe one of the more humorous moments, I guess you might be able to say, in kind of a very non-funny story there. I was looking for something positive, because I'm always kind of looking for the joke in a lot of tough situations. And so for people to say, please let the Grammys happen, go, please, can you mourn Kobe somewhere else other than the building where he played for like 90% of his career? Can you please go somewhere else? Kind of funny, just a little bit. And actually, I want to get to I want to get to some sound here. LeBron James passed Kobe on the all-time NBA scoring list on Saturday night. I believe I saw a tweet that they had a phone conversation after the game, and they talked, and Kobe had talked about how, if you can appreciate greatness only through sharing it with other people. And so part of having all of his big scoring records and everything was kind of so it could be broken. Like, if you're out of the hundreds of thousands of people that have played NBA basketball, and you're, you know, someone just passed you on an all-time scoring list, they've got to be really good. Like, you appreciate that person. And that's kind of what Kobe was going for. And I heard this morning during the Pat McAfee show, and I've also got some sound from Pat that I would like to play. So, but here is LeBron James post game talking about passing Kobe. This is from Saturday night.
Like that, you know, when I was a kid, when I was in high school, I was growing up through the ranks. When Kobe came into the league, he was, you know, it wasn't a dream of mine to come straight, you know, from high school at that point in time to the NBA. But I was like, wow, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid being able to make that leap, that's pretty damn cool. And as I started playing more ball and I went into high school, the things that he was doing on the floor, I, you know, admired and wanted to be a part of. I went to ABCD camp, and he came and talked to all the kids that was there, and I happened to be one of the kids that was there, and I was just listening. I was just trying to soak everything up I could, you know. And I remember one thing that he said. He was like, if you want to try to be, you know, great at it, or want to be one of the greats, you got to put the work in. You know, there's no substitution to work. And I was a 15-year-old kid at that camp. You can actually find the footage of him at that camp. And then 2001, I believe, I was playing in New Jersey, and the All-Star game, if I'm not mistaken, and y'all could correct me, was in Philly, right? Yeah, that Saturday, me and Maverick drove to the Intercontinental downtown Philadelphia, and he gave me a pair of his shoes, which I ended up wearing that following night. It was the red, white, and blue Kobe's. I was a 15, and he was a 14, and I wore them anyways. And I sat and just talked to him for a little bit. He gave me the shoes. I rocked them in the game. And it was the same night that we played Oak Hill against Melo. And then I saw what he was able to do the very next night, winning MVP here in Philly. That following night. As I got drafted, I still just admired him. You know, seeing what he was able to accomplish, winning championships, having, you know, being early in his career where, you know, he learned from the misses that he had against the series against Utah, and he just used that as motivation and got better and better and better to him winning multiple championships, and continued to admire him throughout my high school rank. And then as competitors, just seeing the work ethic that he put into the game. He had zero flaws offensively, zero. You backed off of him, he could shoot the three. You pick, you know, you body him up a little bit, he can go around you. He can shoot the mid-range, he can post, he can make free throws. He had zero flaws offensively. And, you know, that's something that I admired as well, just being at a point where the defense will always be at bay, where they couldn't guard you at all offensively, where you just felt like you was just immortal offensively because of your skill set and your work ethic. We take it down to 2008 where we become the redeem team. And it was a dream come true for me to be able to line up alongside of him. Just admiring him for so many years and him seeing him from afar and then being able to be in practices with him and you know, me watching and learning. So on. I mean, it's just too much. It's just too much. The story is just too much. It doesn't make sense. And just to make a long story short, now I'm here in the Lakers uniform in Philadelphia, where he's from, where I wanted the first time I ever met him, gave me his shoes, he won All-Star Week. It's just, it's surreal. It doesn't make no sense, but the universe just puts things in your life, and when you, I guess when you live in the right way, or you just giving everything to whatever you're doing, things happen organically, and it's not supposed to make sense, but it just happens. I'm happy to be in any conversation with Kobe Bean Bryant, one of the all-time greatest basketball players to ever play, one of the all-time greatest Lakers. The man got two jerseys hanging up in Staples Center. It's just crazy.
How eerie is that? And that kind of speaks to, I think, LeBron's greatness and his legacy that he's his path that he's putting down in the NBA and kind of taking, following Kobe and Jordan and the other greats and everything, and just being able to speak like that in the moment and talk about how important Kobe was to him after a game when, you know, I mean, he knew this moment was coming. He's, you know, good with numbers and people are telling him like, hey, this might happen. And it's nice to be able to come up with some thoughts in your head to know what you're going to talk about. But as somebody who's been yammering now for almost 2 hours without a plan, it's very hard to sound that good talking for like 3 minutes. And just also eerie in the context of it all. And it's strange, man. It's sad. It's weird. On that note, however, I'm going to take a break here, and we're going to come back with Light 'Em Up. We're going to talk some normal sports, some sporting events that happened outside of this major event of just Kobe Bryant. Nick Rogers here. That's me. I'm back in the KUJ studios alone by myself. Steve is out today. He will be back tomorrow. So all is well. Hit us up on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. You can send us a text, 321-0824. I'm checking that as well. Hit us up on Twitter, at 953thescore. And hit me up on Twitter, at Rick Nodgers. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Light 'Em Up and a little bit more sports talk next, 953 The Score.
To
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Just outside the O at midcourt, Patterson sets a screen for him. Duarte uses it, pulls up for a triple, got it again. 11 on the shot clock. Duarte pulls up for three. Yeah. Richardson passes it back to Duarte. He'll create some space. Fire a triple at the shot clock. Buzzer good. 40-18 Ducks.
Man, what a game that was for Oregon. That was something else. That's Joey Mack on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Chris Duarte having himself a week. He was named a Pac-12 Player of the Week as well. The stat line from halftime at that game, Oregon-UCLA, with Oregon coming away with a massive win. At the half, Oregon was up 48-26. Chris Duarte already was 6 of 9 from the field. Nice. 4 of 5 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 20 points, 4 assists, and 5 steals at halftime. At halftime! That was insane. It leads me to actually a staple on Mondays, how we wrap up the 4 o'clock hour on a Monday. The last segment of Sports Talk, of the first hour of Sports Talk, is with Light 'Em Up.
Again, Butter, Steph Curry, his 11th three of the night.
Kobe
on a spin. Yes!
What a display! I can't believe it courtside, neither could we.
Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Oh my God.
How about another? To center field, number 4, Josh Hamilton.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
Thanks, Mike Tirico. I forgot we had a Kobe highlight in that. Wow. All right. Anyways, Light 'Em Up. It's the best of the best from the weekend, and who lit it up, who performed the best. And, well, we're going to start with the guy I just played his highlight of. Chris Duarte of the Oregon Ducks is lit.
It's lit! Shout out Chavvy! Scott! Because it's lit!
Like I talked about during the Richter scale, Chris Duarte is having a week. He was talking with Joey Mack during the post game after the Ducks' big win in double OT, and it might just be as simple as he put a little notch in his eyebrow before the game, got his hair done up a little bit, and boom, he's a man changed. He's a man on fire. He said it all came down to just really a conversation that he had with Coach Altman about being more involved in the team, getting more involved on defense. And yeah, I think you can say he's getting involved on defense. He's become a steal machine. Against USC, he had 3 steals in the first 10 minutes of the game, and thanks to 10 minutes overtime as well, the double OT, he set a Matthew Knight Arena record with 8 steals and a career high 33 3-pointers. He was everywhere. He has been Oregon basketball the last 2 games. More the same against UCLA. He was running that Altman press to near perfection. 6 more steals in just 29 minutes. Like, you gotta imagine if that game got a little bit closer. He's picking up a couple more steals here and there. Scored another 24 points. Also, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 of 7 from 3. You just heard 3 of them in the highlight. This dude was on fire. It was really incredible how he was everywhere and doing everything for Oregon the last 2 games, and that's something that's really sparked interest from Peyton Pritchard, Will Richardson talking post-game about everything that he's capable of, and by the way, holding him to the same standard now. Obviously, it's not going to be a 7 steal a game average over the next rest of the season or whatever, but he's certainly being able to help out a little bit on defense, spark the offense a little bit, run the press, cause more defense, cause more offense. It's a really simple cycle that they're all a part of right now. So Chris Duarte, lit.
It's lit!
Another one, sticking with basketball. Trey Young of the Atlanta Hawks last night was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Chavvy! Scott! Because it's lit!
Just like so many people in the NBA, we're seeing it tonight. We saw it yesterday as well. Kobe Bryant was a role model for how they wanted to play, how they wanted to compete, how they wanted to try and get out there and win. As we've been talking about, his death is so tragic and shocking. And Trey decided to honor Kobe by wearing his number 8, Kobe's 8, rather than Trey's normal 11. And I really don't think he could have done a better job on kind of a weird, sad night in basketball. He scored 45 points, 14 assists, and 6 rebounds. And here's just the best part about how great sports are. He did it on 24 shots, that being Kobe's other number. He was 13 to 16 shooting his free throws, which if you do some math, 81%, 81 being the high that Kobe had against Toronto, the second most points scored in a single game in NBA history. I'm getting chills talking about it right now. Sports are able to bring people together, and for Trey to be able to honor Kobe by wearing his number and then just kind of fake Disney magic almost to do it on 24 shots with an 81% thrown in there. That's incredible. You got to love it, and that's lit.
It's lit!
Oh, that's it. That's the quick one. My last one, Shrewsbury Town, we're lit.
It's lit! Shout out Chavvy! Scott! Because it's lit!
These Shrewsberries taste like Shrewsberries. Wouldn't be a show with me at the wheel without talking some random soccer, so I'm going to take my time to do it if I can. In the FA Cup, Shrewsbury Town shocked the football world, doing what not many had been able to do to Liverpool in the last calendar year, and that's simply not lose. Playing down in League One, which is technically the third tier of English football, below just above that is the Championship League and then the Premier League, so third tier down. Shrewsbury had fallen behind 2-0 in the first half. An opening goal in the first 15 minutes, then an own goal just before half. It was looked like it was all lost. Well, then Shrewsbury Town brought on Jason Cummings as a super sub who sparked the rally, coming on in the 60th minute, scored in the 65th with a penalty, tied the game in the 75th. Really incredible. Shrewsbury now get an actual tougher test of going on the road to Anfield to play Liverpool at home with probably a stronger team, but a third-tier team was just able to compete and nearly beat one of the best teams in Europe, what very few teams in the Premier League could even do. Best of luck in the replay. If you move on, best of luck against Chelsea as well. Shrewsbury, lit.
It's lit!
Whew, what a fun segment. All right, so that's going to do it for this hour of Sports Talk. We're back for one more hour of Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. We're talking more Kobe. You're going to hear from Jim Rome. You'll hear from Pat McAfee, Kelly Graves as well. We've got a ton of sound that we're going to be playing, and it's all coming up next here on KUJZ 95.3, The Score.
Once again, Mr. Commerce, I think he misremembers the conversation that we had.